And let's go back to that phone call from EU Commission President Ursula von der Leyen yesterday about those much needed extra Pfizer vaccines and what this means for vaccine supply and security across the EU. Our Europe editor Tony Connolly has more. Tony, an extra 540,000 for Ireland, 50 million for the EU that's being brought forward to the second quarter. What does this tell us about the EU and its vaccine rollout programme? Is it this clearly a win for Brussels and Mrs. von der Leyen?
Well, I think this was presented as an opportunity to change the storyline for the EU's vaccine rollout. 50 million doses that were due for the fourth quarter but are being brought forward to the second quarter. That's a significant boost to the EU's rollout. But more significantly, I think, is the long-term bet that the EU is making on Pfizer, BioNTech. They're in contract for 1.8 billion doses between 2021 and 2023. Now, that is enough to vaccinate Europeans six times over. But it's clearly a long-term strategy to put most of Europe's eggs in the what is called the mRNA type vaccine basket. It's deemed to simply be more reliable, more effective. It hasn't had all of the negative publicity of AstraZeneca, and now of course Johnson & Johnson as well is having problems. But also the Commission is of the view that as the virus mutates into different variants as the vaccinations are rolled out. Of course, the virus has to survive, so it will mutate as new vaccinations appear. That this particular vaccine, the Pfizer-BioNTech one, it will provide opportunities for booster shots, for to repurpose the vaccine if needed, if new variants enter the population in years to come. So this is a kind of a long-term strategy that is heavily betted on Pfizer-BioNTech.
And Europe has learned a lesson about self-sufficiency in supplies, has it?
Yes, I mean, the key message that Ursula von der Leyen delivered yesterday was that the hope was that the vaccine would be produced exclusively in the European Union. So research, development, production, distribution would all be more focused on European territory. Now, that's something that Thierry Breton, the Internal Market Commissioner, who's been spearheading work on this, is very keen to ensure that Europe is not in the future dependent on component parts coming from elsewhere in the world. Now, that may still be necessary, but the ambition is at least that more of this, these vaccines would be produced in their totality in the EU. But of course, that would then leave the EU open to charges of a Europe first policy. And, you know, we get back into that discussion about vaccine nationalism.
Meanwhile, Tony, the Northern Ireland Protocol, are there any signs of progress there?
Yes, well, today is a fairly significant day on that front because Simon Coveney, first of all, is in London, and he's going to meet Brandon Lewis, the Northern Secretary, and David Frost, the UK's Brexit Minister, on the recent developments in Northern Ireland on the riot situation. But also this evening, Maros Šefčovič, who's the EU's lead person on the protocol, has invited David Frost to dinner in Brussels, and that is due to kick off a more political handle on the technical talks which have been ongoing. Maros Šefčovič has said there are 27 outstanding issues around the Northern Ireland Protocol that both sides are trying to resolve. But the technical work has been positive. The EU is saying that there's been a good faith engagement from the UK on, I suppose, coming into compliance with the protocol. And the EU's offer essentially is, if you are in compliance, then we can be flexible on how the protocol is implemented.
And is there any sign of a shift from either side on food and agriculture and common standards, which is, you know, would smooth, take a lot of the friction out of the protocol as it exists at the moment?
Well, that's a very important issue, Anya. At the moment, a lot of the conversations in Brussels are about the need for an EU-UK veterinary agreement on sanitary and phytosanitary issues. The view is that if they have an agreement that would stand alongside the free trade agreement, then that could remove up to 90% of the checks and controls that would have to happen on food products going from Great Britain to Northern Ireland. Now, the EU's insistence is that there would have to be dynamic alignment. In other words, the UK would have to sign up to EU food safety standards and rules, just as Switzerland does and just as Norway does. But the EU so far, the UK so far has been absolutely determined that not be the requirement, that they are looking for something a lot looser, what they call equivalence. In other words, that the outcomes are the same, but that the UK is not somehow bound by EU food safety rules. They're looking for something that the EU has with New Zealand, for example. So both sides are quite far apart on this. And the feeling in Brussels is that the politics are just not ready yet in London to open up that particular strand of discussions. But certainly the view in the EU is, look, you know, if you really care that much about making life as easy as possible under the protocol, then why not simply do what Switzerland and Norway do and align with EU food safety rules?
Tony Connolly in Brussels, thank you very much indeed.